And so, as some of you know, we have this theme going on of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is a path that leads to freedom, freedom from suffering, freedom from difficulty. We have been having this theme for almost a year now, probably. And it's still not finished. And there are eight factors to this path. That's why it's called the Eightfold Path. And today, I actually am not really continuing where I left off just yet. Today, I want to look at how we can use this Noble Eightfold Path in these times of more difficulty. And I left off at right mindfulness, which is the second to last path factor. But I'll pause that for a moment, although we'll be talking about it today too. And want to talk more about more general, like how can this path support us in these times? And I also want to mention that there are different, different people with different views and different ideas about what's good or bad or what's supposed to happen or not supposed to happen. And I want to honor all views and ideas. And so for different people, it might feel differently what things are there happening in this country right now, in the world at large. And so Buddhism doesn't exclude anyone. Everyone can access these teachings. And I wish for everyone to access these teachings, no matter what their view is. And so I also want to acknowledge that for perhaps a lot of us, it's difficult to see what's happening right now. And to be with that. And I wanted to offer some reflections on that, on how to work with that through the lens of the Noble Eightfold Path. And it actually doesn't really matter what your difficulty is, what is difficult for you in your life right now. Whatever I'm sharing today can be applied to anything that is difficult. And so a while ago I read this article by Bhikkhu Bodhi, a monk and scholar in our tradition, and he wrote about kind of this engaged Buddhism, and he mentioned 4 points, and I didn't actually look them back up, but the general sense that I got from those 4 points, those 4 steps we can take, is that part of what we can do is to practice, to look at our own inner world and our own practice, and use that to work with whatever difficulty we're encountering. And the second part of those 4 steps is to actually take action and to engage with the world. And so one part is internal, one part is more external, externally focused. And so I want to start with the more internally focused part. And here, actually, mindfulness is a big player, because if we're not mindful, if we're not aware of what is happening internally, we're not able to do anything about it, or we're not able to work through our difficulties and issues. And so this path factor of wise mindfulness is very important. And it's often also actually the path factor that we start with when we encounter Buddhism or meditation. We start with mindfulness, and we only hear later about all the other path factors that are here, that are part of this path. And perhaps it's good to just give you the overview real quick. A lot of you have already heard this multiple times, but there are 3 parts to the Eightfold Path. The first 2 steps are about wisdom, wise view and wise intention. And the middle 3 steps are ethics or virtue related, wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood. And then the last 3 steps are more the meditation category, wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. And so mindfulness is part of the meditation or sometimes called cultivation category. And so when we are practicing mindfulness, it is important to also become aware of the difficulty that we're encountering. Like I tried to allude to a little bit in the meditation, mindfulness, this practice of vipassana, is really about opening to everything that is present and not to exclude anything. Of course, there will be moments that we're overwhelmed and that there's too much going on, and then we might need to step away from mindfulness for a little bit, distract ourselves in a wholesome way, perhaps. For example, by just like feeling the touch of the body with the surface beneath it, or one of my teachers, Andrea Fella, has this exercise that I call the corner exercise, where you just pay attention to the corners of in a room or wherever two lines meet, and that you do that like for a few seconds, and then you go to the next place where two lines meet. And that's a really grounding exercise, surprisingly enough, when you try that out when you're overwhelmed with some emotion or some really difficult thing, and you try that exercise, it can really help us to ground. And so we might need that in these times. We might need that a lot, to have some grounding exercises, and there are many more, of course, because we might get overwhelmed by everything that's going on. And at the times that we're not overwhelmed, then we can open and allow and be present for the difficulty. So there's this phrase that Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese monk and a teacher, he used that, and one of his books has this title. It's called, it's just No Mud, No Lotus. And so it kind of helps us to see that these difficulties are kind of the mud that the lotus can grow from. And so if we start to see that these difficulties are actually opportunities to grow and to learn, to transform, then we start to see them in a different light. And that can help us, because we have so often, we have this inclination to push away a difficulty. We don't want it. We want to get rid of it. That attitude of wanting to get rid of it is usually not so helpful. It's basically putting more difficulty onto the difficulty that's already there. And we can't always prevent that attitude from arising, obviously, but we can be aware of that. Then that's the next layer that we can be aware of. Okay, there is difficulty, and there's the not wanting the difficulty, the next layer. That's also welcome here. And so I think this phrase of no mud, no lotus can really help us to open to the difficulty, noticing like, oh, this anger that I'm feeling right now because of this whole situation is feeling like this. Anger feels like this. Perhaps you can feel it in your body, like contraction in the chest or a tension in the jaw, or however it expresses for you, starting to really be curious about these difficult emotions and feelings that arise, starting feeling the injustice, the feeling of injustice or powerlessness. And some years ago I had a lot of trouble with climate change, and I just felt so powerless about it, and I felt like, oh, governments need to do something about it, and no one's doing anything, and why aren't they supposed, they're supposed to, blah, blah, blah. And at some point I noticed that all these thoughts and feelings that I had were unwholesome, basically. And I realized that this unwholesomeness was not contributing anything to the problem, wasn't contributing anything to me, to my the people in my life, to anything. And that really changed for me how I related to climate change. And it made me see that being stuck in a defilement, as they're called, these defilements, these unwholesome states of heart mind, is probably never a good idea, even if it feels justified. Because if we then start to act from these defilements, from these difficult states of mind, these unwholesome states of mind, we're bringing into the world more unwholesomeness. And so the Buddhist teachings are not about not acting. They are about not acting from unwholesome states. They are about acting from wholesomeness. And that's way easier said than done. So this first part of our task, this turning inward, is about starting to get to know ourselves, starting to get to know our patterns and conditionings, the ways in which we get triggered, the ways that reactivity comes up, starting to get to know that and starting to get to see that and discover that. And that can be a whole life of practice, just that can be a whole life of practice. And sideways, I've already touched on wise effort too, which is to engage as much as we can in wholesomeness and to let go of unwholesomeness as much as we can. And so this is also actually part of wise view or right view, to notice what is actually wholesome. What is wholesome? What leads to wholesomeness? What leads to happiness? And what leads away from wholesomeness? What leads towards unwholesomeness and unhappiness and suffering? And so these are some of those, the ways that the Noble Eightfold Path is weaved into this way of looking at our inner world. And this, what I just said around noticing the defilements, noticing the unwholesomeness, is very important. That's the mud that the lotus is going to grow from. That's our nutriment. And then also seeing the wholesomeness. Like one of you said earlier today, noticing the gratitude, noticing when we see that the practice is working. Some of you mentioned that noticing these moments can be very helpful and beneficial in this growing of the lotus as well. It's not only just mud. The lotus also needs the sunshine and, you know, the water and things like that. And so the second part of Bhikkhu Bodhi's article around then engaging in action in the outside world, this engagement in action is really about also this wholesomeness versus unwholesomeness. Is our action coming from a wholesome intention? Really starting to see, like, if we're going on a march, for example, we're protesting, is there a lot of anger present? Or is there a wish for kindness and goodness in the world, which is a completely different motivation to be there, right? And not to make it wrong if there is anger or a feeling of powerlessness or injustice or any other emotion, more to recognize it. Again, then we go back to our internal world, like, okay, this is here right now, and that's okay too. We don't have to push it away. If we do push it away, it's probably just going to come back, so we can just as well notice it right now that it's here. And so this engagement from this place of non-harming, from this place of non-harming of ourselves and others, from this place of wholesomeness as much as we can, and it won't always be possible, and it will be a big mixed bag at times where there is a partly wholesome motivation and a partly unwholesome motivation. And trying to see if we can act from kindness, from compassion, from the goodness in our hearts. And if we can't, then to see if we can be kind to ourselves that we can't right now. Can there be kindness towards that? And so I want to leave enough time for for discussion and sharing. And so perhaps you have also ways that you are dealing with the whole situation right now, or dealing with difficulty in general, or you have questions about it. So.